What's up, Knoll Nation? It's Jesse from Plant the Spear back with you guys for another episode. And this is going to be our first edition of Behind Enemy Lines as we look into Florida State's next opponent, the Boston College Eagles. And, you know, this is going to be a bounce back game for Florida State after the disappointing season opener against Georgia Tech. But thankfully, we have my friend Mike Galtieri here from LightsCameraSports.com to help us preview Boston College, because we know Boston College has got a different look this year. New coaching staff, some of the same players. So we got a lot of questions about this team, and Mike is going to join us to kind of give us the inside look here. He covers sports in the Northeast and also Boston College, so we are extremely grateful to have him here to give us an inside look at this BC program. So, Mike, thank you so much for joining me, and how are you, my friend?
Hey, really good, Jesse. Thanks so much. It's great to be a BC fan, especially in August, right before the first game. So this is always a great time of year and exciting time of year nationally. I know you guys already had one game, probably not doing as well, but still a fun time.
Yeah, one we want to forget, but, you know, there's 11 more games to go at a minimum. And we met at ACC Media Days, and we had set this up, so excited to get into it, man. Let's start first with the broad view picture of BC. Obviously, we know they start fresh with a new coaching staff last year. Jeff Hafley kind of just suddenly departs unexpectedly to go back to the NFL. But, man, I got to say, I have to tip my hat to BC. I think this was an absolute home run hire. When I saw the news come across my Twitter feed, I was like, wow, they got Bill O'Brien. That feels like a great hire for them. Oh. So looking at that staff that has come in, particularly Boston College or Bill O'Brien, you know, BC has been a program that has historically lived in that 6-8 win range with a couple of good seasons there along the way. But Bill O'Brien comes in as a guy who has been at the most successful programs in both college at Alabama, the NFL with the Patriots. Can you just talk a little bit about how his presence, his experience, and that leadership has had an impact on the BC program so far, and how that maybe breaks the mold of belief for BC to take that next step into a contender program?
Yeah, so that's a good question, good points. And, you know, just to backtrack, Hafley left, I believe it was late January, kind of surprised, went from a number one to a number two position, defensive coordinator, of course, in the NFL with the Packers. But still, a little bit of a dicey move. You don't usually see head coaches go to become coordinators. Then Bill O'Brien came in. He actually, Jesse, was at Ohio State for a week. He actually drove out there before BC reached out to him and was in the process of getting his family set up to be the offense coordinator for Ryan Day at Ohio State. So that was going to be his plan. BC called, obviously had a lot of ties. He's from Andover, Mass., just north of Boston, St. John's Prep. His wife went to Boston College. He went to Brown, played there. So kind of grew up as a BC fan from the Northeast, as I mentioned. And as you said, head coach of Penn State with the Patriots in the market. So that's really big. Local fans, you got to get the Boston sports fan at BC to know who you are. Because you remember, we're different than Tallahassee in terms of we have the Patriots, the Red Sox, the Celtics, even the Revolution, the Bruins. So that you need the average sports fan to know who Bill O'Brien is. And he passes that test. The average guy does know that. So that will help out BC. And what I'm hearing from camp is it's a much more structured program. It's just more disciplined all around, and you're seeing it from the players. Now, I'll say this. I think I told you that in the media days as well. Everyone's optimistic in August. So we'll see. If BC goes down and loses 51-7 in Tallahassee this week, you know, you're going to lose the Boston sports fan, and you're just going to – it's going to be like, oh, same old BC. So really, this is a big game in terms of they need an opportunity – to prove themselves where they have a window of optimism to get going. But yes, I love the Bill O'Brien hiring. And I talked to him in Charlotte. He says he wants to stay here too. That was a concern. Will he be here 1, 2, 3 years, maybe turn around, get 8, 9 wins and then go back to the NFL? Now, he still could do that, of course. But he's told me he loves it. His family loves it. He didn't have to really move from – he was the offensive coordinator at the Patriots last year. So all things are positive here in late August.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. And I even asked him, you know, how does that relationship, how does that name that you carry in that Northeast market, how does that help you in recruiting too? And he says that he thinks it will play, you know, just having that cachet to go into a player's living room with the success that he had at the Patriots. I think it's a great hire. I think this is an important game for both teams. Like you said, BC needs that proof of concept. Florida State needs to show that the Georgia Tech game isn't going to define their season. So looking at Bill O'Brien, as we kind of get into some of the major things before we hone in here, what are some of the biggest changes that you've seen from the program versus Bill O'Brien versus Jeff Hafley?
Well, the structure of the practice, it just seems more disciplined, more of a no-nonsense type. I think he's more of a, you know, Hafley's more of a player's coach. Bill O'Brien is the other way. And I think that's good. I think obviously you need discipline, structure, and you're going to get that. But in terms of the big picture, same type of kid you're recruiting, Northeast, Mid-Atlantic, obviously Catholic high schools across the nation. And you're going to get that same smart, hardworking, tough kid. And you're going for 3 stars and you're trying to coach him up to be a 4-star, 5-star. So the mindset of the program really is the same. I just think the attitude is a little different, Jesse.
Love it. Love it. I mean, sometimes it's just, you can get more out of those 3 stars than you think you can. And I think that's something that we've seen at Florida State happen until the recruiting catches up now, but we're going to get into,
we don't really know what the 5-star though is like at all. At least you touched that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, we are going to get into offense and defense here, but obviously there's – I believe when you look at the stat that he's put together, they did retain a few guys, and I have heard that Tim Lewis was a little bit of a surprise hire at DC. Can you talk about the staff that he's put together and share some thoughts on that?
Wow. I was at the media day last week at BC, and Tim Lewis, I had a really nice conversation with him. Very well-spoken, down-to-earth guy. Has not coached, to your point, in college football since 1994. Been NFL. He was at the UFL recently. His son, though, was recruited by Hafley to go to BC and now is with Bill O'Brien in the program at BC. And that kind of drove him to come back. He said he came up to BC to talk to Bill O'Brien looking for a reason not to come almost. And he didn't find it. He said it was a really good opportunity and he's excited to be here. He said they want to blitz a lot more, put a lot more pressure on the quarterback. And he really likes his team. So, he likes the players he has. And what he said to Jesse is beyond even players and skills. He just really enjoys coaching this type of kid at BC. Well-behaved, structured. They're going to go to class. You don't want to say almost beyond wins and losses, but he says he's really kind of coaching them for life, almost beyond school. And so he said it's been refreshing to be with BC, but I say that if they start 0-6 or 2-4, all that goes out the window. So I really want to stress that everything's positive, but we're in August. But I like the staff a lot, and I really like Tim Lewis.
Yeah, I think that's a good point because, college football is built so much on wins and losses, but we see things with Mike Norvell, at least with the Seminole Scholar Program, and no really off-the-field troubles. And it does mean something, and it should mean something. Really, even as not a BC fan, that's good to hear, though, because it's an important part of these kids' life. But let's start with the offense because, obviously, that's where the focus for BC is. And that starts at quarterback. But before we get into the quarterback, Bill O'Brien brings a ton of experience as a successful play caller in college and NFL. I was looking into some of his concepts last night that he did at Alabama. I think he's got a really impressive history as a play caller. Kind of makes me a little bit nervous for some of the things that he's able to do when you see, how they were able to carve up some of the best defenses in Georgia, when he was at Alabama. So what are your expectations for the identity of the offense this season?
Yeah, so to your point, Bill O'Brien, they're not going to be intimidated by Florida State. Bill O'Brien, especially the athletes there. But Florida State still, though, has the athletic advantage. You can have the best coach, Belichick, in the signs. If you don't have the athletes to play, you're still at a disadvantage. And BC is at a disadvantage just in terms of athletic ability. But as you saw with Georgia Tech last week, they have a lot of heart. You run the ball. Good offensive line. Those are the characteristics that always is with BC. You throw, and that's how it's going to be with Bill O'Brien as well. You throw in Castellanos, and you're going to have a much, I think, a better threat. He still likes to run, but what he's been working on with Bill O'Brien all offseason is passing. And he knows there has to be times where he stays in the pocket and really makes that down the field pass because defenses aren't going to stress the pass with him. They'll just cover him. They'll know that he'll try to get out of the pocket. He'll try to run. And that's what he was kind of doing last year. And it worked even against SMU in the bowl game. He had a great game rushing, but he knows he needs to establish the pass game at least a little bit and be a threat, Jesse, to throw the ball downfield. And so I think if early on in this game, Monday night, If you see Castellanos start throwing the ball and making completions 10 yards, 15 yards, you know they'll start cooking then, because then he'll be able to rush as well outside the pocket himself or hand the ball off, because BC is a really good offensive line as well coming back. And I think that's the formula for BC, at least early on.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be the case. You know, even with in the Georgia Tech game, we thought they should force Haynes King to throw the ball, and they just didn't. And I think Georgia Tech did that to us, that, you know, they
what was it, 5 yards a carry they averaged? 5.2 yards a carry, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, I think it might have even been more. It was but even then, like, you know, we thought, okay, well, they did exactly what we wanted us to do to them. They made DJU throw the ball to beat them, and we didn't throw the ball, and we didn't beat them. So I think that'll be interesting with this BC matchup. So staying on Castellanos for a minute, I asked Bill O'Brien at ACC Media Days, like, look, his rushing ability, obviously he's a quarterback, but his rushing ability is unreal, and that's not something you want to cut off. And he said that they're not going to rein him in at all because they know how explosive that is. But obviously you want him to throw the ball, like you mentioned, too. Can you talk about how the progression that you've seen from him as a passer going into year two, and how do you think they use him compared to last year? You think it's they're going to force him to stay in the pocket a little bit more, or they're just going to kind of let him do what he's naturally good at?
Yes. So the honest answer of the progression is I don't know yet. He says all the right things this summer. He's saying he's worked on his passing game. He threw a lot of interceptions last year. He forced a lot in there. So he's got to work on his management there as well. But we got it's almost a wait and see with him. But he needs to do those things to your point to be successful and to take the next level. As you know, a lot of college he has great rushing ability, but a lot of college QBs can rush the ball and do well. Can you elevate and for the next level of the NFL? You got to be able to pass the ball, and that's what he's been working on. So it's kind of a wait and see there with him. Bill, but to your point, Jesse, Bill O'Brien, what a great coach to do that. And I think that's a big reason why he stayed at BC, Castellanos I'm talking about. He could have gone, transferred out. He obviously got some NIL money. But I think after the Halfley hire, after Halfley left, there was a little bit of a disconnect if Castellanos was going to stay. But then once Bill O'Brien came in, it kind of sealed the deal for him. And I have to wait and see with him. I can't say to you right now, oh, he looks so much better in passing, because you can't. A lot of times practicing doesn't translate as well.
Yeah, and I think it is big when you talk about him staying, the fact that O'Brien has had guys like Deshaun Watson and Bryce Young. So he's seen that dual-threat quarterback work in his system. So you talked about the offensive line, and that's where I want to shift our focus now, because BC is a team that typically has a really good, you know, that big, just burly, pushy-around type of offensive line. We saw 2 years ago when they were decimated with injuries how bad that hurt the team. I did see a couple of rumblings through camp that Logan Taylor has not been available, and they kind of expect him maybe to not be there for week one. But outside of that, I don't know if you have any information on that, but how is that offensive line looking going into this season?
Yeah, I'm hearing the same thing as you. I don't have a concrete regarding him, but I really like Drew Kendall, the local kid. His father, Pete, played at Boston College. A senior, really, really impressive to talk to. I don't know if you talked to him in the media days. Just a well-spoken, smart kid. He's so excited for the season. Christian Mahogany is gone, you're right. But still a solid, solid offensive line. Trapillo is good. And that's going to be key for this team. You know, as you know, too, Jesse, 3rd and 4 on the road, saying Tallahassee, can you get those 5 yards that first down? That, a big part of that is the push from the offensive line. And I think that's a strong, strong unit for the Eagles so far going into the season. Now, though, to your point, injuries. If that happens, this is the difference with BC and Florida State of injuries, the depth. You guys, Florida State, you can fill in the roles and be relatively okay. There is a fall off with BC after you get injuries from there. And that's something that the Eagles have to monitor.
I gotcha. Yeah, and Georgia Tech had a really good offensive line, and they moved the ball on us a lot. So that could be something to watch in this matchup as well. But now let's talk about the skill positions. I know at running back, they bring back Kai. I hope I'm saying this right. Robichaud, from last year. And then they also added former FSU running back by way of Kansas State, Trayshawn Ward, a guy that we really loved within the program, and he had a great skill set. I see that they did lose Alex Broom for the season to, I think, an ACL, and Garwo transferred out. What's that running back room looking like this year? I know Castellanos led them on the ground last year, but do you think that running back room is ready to kind of help carry that load this year?
Yeah. So that the last set that you said, I think, is the most critical thing. That, you know, I think for BC to do really, really well, that Castellanos has to kind of cede to not leading the team in rushing. They have to get that the other guys going, to your point, the offensive line getting those yards, and then have Castellanos explode for a big play. But those third and four, third and 3 yards, you really need the other running backs to kind of go into play. But with BC too, also it's a committee with running backs, and I think that's what you're going to see this year as the progress. So there's a lot of guys you don't know about, like Robin Shaw. We really didn't know about much this time last year. He kind of emerged. So with not, you know, the lack of the high profile five star recruits, we don't know truly how the unit's going to come. I think it's going to kind of a committee more or less there with that team, Jesse. And I'm excited to see Monday exactly how the running backs look. That's one of the most exciting things I'm looking forward to watch.
Awesome. Awesome. And so now, continuing with the skill positions, talking about Castellanos as a passer, let's talk about his pass catchers. I know you guys bring back Lewis Bond. Yeah. I've heard some things about Jaden Skeet, if I'm saying that right. Skeet maybe. And also you bring in Kamari Morales as tight end from UNC. I've heard that he's had good chemistry with Thomas Castellanos. And I know that Bill O'Brien's offense is predicated a lot on creating mismatches. So my question for you on this is, what is that receiver group looking like this year? And do you think that they have the horses to create those mismatches? And then obviously feel free to throw in any names here that maybe we don't know about that maybe FSU fans should be on the lookout for.
Yeah, one extra, I don't know, you broke up a second there, but Dino Tomlin is a guy I'm going to watch out. Mike Tomlin's son, head coach of the Steelers, the NFL. I think he'll emerge, have a really good year this year. Lewis Bond, I really enjoyed speaking to him a couple of weeks ago in Cheston Hill. You know what's, in terms of wide receivers in Castellanos, they're very, very close off the field as a unit. And that's not always the case, as you know, in football. But their offense, especially the wide receivers and the QB, they're extremely close. They were working together all summer. So I expect them to have a really good year. Like, I think Lewis Bond, to your point, will lead the charge as well. And I think it's important for the wide receivers to start off strong too, because as you know, Jesse, from following the ACC, BC is known for running backs and not really so much the big time wide receiver threat. So if they can get that going, I think that's a really, really strong sign. And that's also Castellanos' passing ability. He forced a lot of throws that resulted in interceptions last year. So I think part of that is receivers were unable to get space. So you really need that space in the open field and to get going and be open as a quarterback to not force it. So those are all things I'm going to watch for after this first game.
Awesome. And the last thing I have on offense for you, BC last year was actually top 15 in rush offense, but 110th in pass offense. Do you think that's going to balance out this year, or do you still think that rushing, that kind of rushing identity that we know of BC is still going to dominate the headlines this year?
No, I think it's going to balance out a little bit, but still going to be in favor of rushing, you know, maybe 65% rushing, I would guess. That's just who BC is. You know, you're not going to, they're an offensive line, rushing team, manage the clock, a lot like Georgia Tech. And that's how it's going to be. I think that's how it'll progress. But for them to be successful, I think they need to, as I mentioned, the passing game needs to get going. And I think it will. Castellanos is a really good, exciting player. And remember, this time last year, Emmett Moorhead was the starter for BC. Castellanos came in the second drive of the week one game versus Northern Illinois. And just, it was a coach's decision. Emmett Moorhead wasn't even injured. So that tells me that Castellanos is a transfer from UCF this time last year, had a really strong training camp. And then the coaches were on the verge of starting him. They didn't like what they saw of Emmett Moorhead, and they put him in, and he's been there ever since. So I think, I mean, I'm probably the most excited been about a BC QB in Castellanos than I have been the last 5-6 years.
Yeah, and obviously it was a very good move for BC. So let's flip over to the defense now. You talked about new DC Tim Lewis and how he likes to bring pressure and blitz. And I've also heard that he really likes his secondary to play aggressively. Now, when you talk about pressure and blitz, BC was 121st in rushing defense last year, and they struggled to create pressure. Now, they had a good pass defense, and we'll get into that next. But they do return guys like Cam Horsley, Donovan Ezeraku, who was an all-ACC guy a couple years ago but had a struggle, kind of a down year in production last year. And they also have some experienced linebackers to build from, although they lost their top guy. What have you seen from that front seven, and how do you feel BC will be able to improve in stopping the run as well as creating more pressure this year?
Yeah, you know, the unit seems very cohesive, very well disciplined. Penalties were an issue last year with them, so I think they're going to, Tim Lewis is stressing that to work on that. Cam Arnold's another name, linebacker, who I really like. I think he'll kind of step up and be in charge on the defensive unit as well. But it's all going to be about the pressure there. And one thing Jeff Hafley did really well, Jeff Hafley is a safety defensive back coach. So that unit was very strong last year. And I think they'll continue to be strong. The defense is solid. That's the best way. They're a really good unit. I think they'll do well. I'm more interested to our previous question, see the upside of the offense, to see how well that can do. I think the defense will be there for BC is what I'm trying to say. And with Tim Lewis, I think he's a veteran coach. I think he's the right coach under Bill O'Brien. But, you know, things I wish I could have had an advantage of watching a game like you have last week to really get a good feel.
Yeah.
I'll be this time next week. I'll be able to even tell you a lot more. You know how it is with college football and sport. Kids come out. But on paper, I think they're a very solid unit on the defense.
Yeah, man, let me tell you, that is quite the case, because we had really high expectations going into that Georgia Tech game and things have shifted. So the last question I have for you on defense, we talked about the front seven. Again, BC had the 26th ranked pass defense last year, really solid on the back end there. They did lose their best corner, Elijah Jones, all ACC guy, as well as an 11 game starter at safety. But they get pretty much everyone back and added a few transfers in there as well. We talked about how Tim Lewis likes his DBs to play aggressive. Is there anything that has stood out in that secondary or any guys in that secondary that you're looking at have stepped into that kind of leadership role?
No, because I don't know how – it's going to take a game or two for me to evaluate that. To your point, they lost some, but everyone really came back, and it was a strong unit last year. So that's that. I really haven't been – so locked in the defense. I think they'll be there. They're solid. I think they're good for the Eagles. I just don't know how it's all going to relate to Tim Lewis and his theory and his game plan versus Jeff Hafley. So that's that. But I do think they'll be a very solid unit. And this team has won on the road a lot. They won a big game last year against Georgia Tech. So I don't think they'll be fazed too much by the Florida State crowd and the atmosphere Monday night, a standalone game. So I'm pretty confident in the defense. I think they'll be pretty well. I question though, Florida State, I think they'll be fired up after last week's performance on offense.
So. Yeah. And by the way, things went last week. You don't necessarily need a great secondary because we didn't really throw the ball a whole lot. But let's look into, which I'm hoping for this week. I really hope they kind of take the handcuffs off DJ and either live or die with his arm. You know, you got to let him throw at some point, but let's go a little bit big picture on BC season. Then we'll get into this FSU BC game and close things out here. So now that we've covered the new staff and the personnel, what are your overall expectations for BC in 2024? I think their win total is somewhere around 4.5, which seems kind of low with Thomas Castellanos at quarterback. They are ranked 14th in the ACC from a talent perspective, according to the 247 talent composite. So my question to you is, what are your overall expectations for BC in 2024? And given the things that we talked about, do you think that we know the coaching is going to be there. We know this is a really good staff. We know Bill O'Brien has produced at the highest level. Do you think they have the personnel to play above expectations, or is that still a limiting factor right now?
Big picture wise, BC, I think a realistic goal, you know, they were 7-6 last year, a big win over SMU. Castellanos coming back. To your point, I do think the Vegas number is a little low. I think 7 or 8 wins would be a great season. First year under Bill O'Brien. And that's the thing. We don't know a lot of Bill O'Brien, how he's going to translate back to the college. Did really well at Penn State, obviously Alabama as an assistant. But I think the goal for BC is to get that next level bowl game, really, is what I'm trying to say. Their Fenway Bowl last year, got the win over SMU, a really good win, actually. I think that was a really good game. A lot of players coming back. So big picture-wise, I think 8 wins would be a great goal for BC. And then years 2 and 3, maybe year 3, Bill O'Brien, that's when you really want to go after the ACC title and go there, because the BC's do. They really do. To your point, Jesse, Steve Adazio, Hafley, it was always hovering. 6 wins, 7 wins. They'd beat the teams they should beat for the most part. They'd lose a couple clunkers and then beat the teams they were supposed to beat, lose the teams they're supposed to lose to, and 1 or 2 games here and there. And that was usually 6-6 or 7-5. And then you got a bowl game. That was it. So I'm looking for BC to take that next step, 8-9 wins and 10 wins. They haven't got that since 2007, Jesse. That was Matt Ryan. So that's kind of where we're at with BC. But the goal is to win the ACC. And you got to do that. That's the goal. New practice facility. The NIL money's coming in. The Bill O'Brien hiring his salary close to $5 million a year. It's a signal to me that BC's taking the next step, and they want to really win the ACC. And, you know, too, Jesse, big picture-wise, the playoffs is a big help for Boston College and those type of schools, because there's avenues now to get in. The 14 playoff, even if – I hate to bring that up, but even if we win the ACC, you might not make the playoff, right? Imagine if BC had won the ACC, and, you know, that – it's a little bit of politics with a 14 playoff. So now at least with a 12 team, if you go undefeated, you're going to make the playoffs. And even maybe one loss in the ACC, you're going to make the playoffs. So there's more avenues for a BC team, and it takes politics out of the play.
Man, we appreciate you saying that, because that is the case. But it does – I agree, man. It does feel like BC is building a foundation to be in the best place that they've been so far. So last thing I got before we get into the actual game here is, what is that one thing for BC this year that you feel like you can hang your hat on? And then what is that one thing that makes you sweat? What is their biggest strength and their biggest weakness for this season headed into game one? Obviously, you'll find out a lot, you know, after game one. You'll know a little bit. Yeah. But is there one thing in particular you feel real good about? Like, I'm taking this money to the bank. And then what is something that you're like, I need to see it first?
So it's kind of the same player, Tommy Castellanos. That's what it revolves around. I know he could run. I know he's a rusher. I know he could do well there. He could spread the ball. The question, and I've heard, I can't take it to the bank yet, that he's improved his passing game. Okay. And if he could do that, then the team will be a lot better. So I think he's really the X factor early on here. How will he play as a passer? The offensive line, I know, is solid. I feel really good about them. Defense, I feel solid about. But if you had to pick, I feel more solid about the offensive line to do well. I really like that unit as well. But and then special teams, always an X factor of BC. You don't know what exactly you're going to get either way. But I think passing for the QB position, how will that do? And I don't know the backup situation of the QBs. If Castellanos gets hurt, and that's always a threat when you're running the ball that much, the QB. Yeah. I think it's even more of a reason why you got to stay in the pocket more, because we don't know the freshman QBs behind him where they stand, and that's going to be that would be an issue, because you know injuries are going to happen. You just got to know what positions and what there. So I hope I answer your question there, but that kind of roundabout way.
No, you did, and I mean, you know, coming from last year where we lost Jordan Travis, we saw when you have that guy at quarterback, the one that the kind of the heart of your offense, when things happen, I mean, our offense fell off a cliff. So I totally
especially at the college level.
Right, exactly. And especially when you have a guy who's such a dynamic guy like Jordan Travis or Thomas Castellanos in that situation. So let's close this out with some talk about this FSU-BC game. So obviously we know, I'll set the stage for us and we'll get into this thing. Monday night, sold out. They just announced night game, home opener for FSU. Going to be a little bit of a tough environment, but like you said, I don't think they're intimidated by that. FSU does have a game under their belt, albeit quite a bad one, but BC has not played yet. So I think that's always an advantage and a disadvantage. Like, Florida State had a chance to kind of work some kinks out, but now BC has some film to know what they're going to do, because Florida State's got a lot of new pieces this year. So now they kind of have some things there. Florida State's probably going to have to go to some old film for BC, because they haven't seen, like you said, they haven't seen Bill O'Brien at BC yet to know what to think. I think BC might smell a little bit of blood in the water after that Georgia Tech game, because of, we were talking about this before we jumped on, BC and Georgia Tech are kind of similar in the fact that they're a run heavy team with a solid defense led by a dual threat quarterback. And so Georgia Tech kind of handed them the game plan, and that makes me nervous, because it's almost like seeing the same opponent 2 weeks in a row. And, you know, I would say that Thomas Castellanos is probably better than Haynes King. So that makes me pretty nervous about this game. Now, we know last year BC mounted that late game comeback to come within a few points of pulling the upset of Florida State. Now, Florida State's defense, some people know this, some don't. They were riddled with the flu last year in that game. But Castellanos went off for 400 all-purpose yards and two touchdowns. And to be honest, I think a flu-ridden 2023 FSU defense is probably better than what we saw last week from the 2024 defense. So I don't know that you know, it's still going to be a challenge for them to stop Castellanos. Maybe Florida State knows a little bit more what to expect from Thomas Castellanos this year, because like you said, he didn't really start the beginning of the season there, but that doesn't mean you can stop him. He's still a dynamic guy. Now, the line did start at FSU by 22, and that has since dropped to 15.5. So things are closing in here a little bit. So how do you think BC tries to attack and defend FSU after what you saw in that Georgia Tech game? And how do you see this one playing out?
Yeah, I think, I've gone back and forth on this too, because I think the Georgia Tech win was good for BC because you saw that their formula works. I think they're pretty much going to do what Georgia Tech did, really, to be honest with you. I think that's the way they have to beat them. But it obviously opened up some eyes to Florida State. They know they're going to watch this, and they're going to know how to stop it and be fired up. And it's a wake-up call. You know, if Florida State kind of squeaked by, I don't know if it would have been a big news. They beat them. But I think so. Now BC does, conversely, from their perspective, see blood in the water. But let's be honest, though, too. It's a little bit of a mental game. We played you guys tough. BC did last year. But we haven't won in Tallahassee since 2008. Yeah. So you guys have our number in terms of just the psyche there. Can we go down to Florida, the Northeast school, and beat Florida State on Labor Day, national TV? You mentioned a sellout, fired up. And so those variables are real in college, especially in college football versus like the NFL. But to answer your question about the playbook, I think BC will do exactly what Georgia Tech did. Run the ball, set up third and short. Set up a play-action type situation, maybe bite them long that way, have Castellanos establish a passing game, and then go wide out of the pocket and try to get first downs that way, and then keep Florida State the defense. I would say you want to keep Florida State to 15 to 20 points in that ballpark there, and try to, you know, beat them by get the high 20s on your end. Easier said than done, though, of course. Yeah. And the line is the line for what you said. Yeah, the momentum there, a lot of that's Georgia Tech, that win, it's come down a little bit. But I think it's accurate too. Florida State's the heavy favorite. You match up these two teams on recruiting and athletes, Florida State has the edge. There's no way to dispute that. Maybe a couple of years of Bill O'Brien's recruiting, it could change. But Florida State has the edge right there. So the question is, can BC, like it always is down there, the intensity, the heart, the focus – I think BC loses that advantage, though, with the loss last week in terms of Florida State's going to be laser focused. They do not want to go 0-2 going into a bye week and have to deal with that crowd and that media, Tallahassee. As you mentioned, too, Jesse, I mentioned, too, Florida State is the show in Tallahassee. Yeah. BC goes 0-2. You know what? What's up with Drake May and the Patriots?
Yeah, that's
the story there. So I don't know if Florida State, the players, want to deal with that 0-2 start with a bye week and all that as well. So I think that's a big factor as well. But so it's tough to read. It's tough to read with BC. But I know Florida State will be ready to go, no doubt about that. And so will BC as well.
Yeah.
So I think it should be a good game on paper. You never know. I thought it'd be good games, and BC loses 41-7.
So, yeah.
Especially in week one. Summer. It's tough.
Right. And it's hard to predict. And that's what we saw in that Georgia Tech game. And, you know, last time we played in Tallahassee, I think we won 44-14, but I don't think that's going to be the case this year. And I do think, like you said, man, it's an effort and an energy type of thing. And that was really one of the areas where FSU was poor last week. They didn't seem like they wanted to be there and take it. They didn't seem like they wanted the game more than Georgia Tech. So I'm hoping that loss was a gut check for them and they come out more inspired this week. Now, we were talking about this before the show. In my opinion, I think this is a must win for Florida State. I think, you know, this is another game where if they play like they did against Georgia Tech, they can lose this one. But I think if they win, they can get their season back on track with a bye week coming after this, like you mentioned. If they lose, I worry about the effort and energy for the rest of the season. I worry about them losing a little bit of the fan base if you start 0-2. Because like you said, man, we are the only show in that whole northeast corner or northwest corner of the state. So, you know, all eyes are always on this team. So with that being said, I'll go ahead and I'll give mine. And then I'll ask if you got one. You don't have to give any of the secret sauce if you want to release it on your channel or anything. But I think Florida State is able to pull this one out. You almost want to say it's a race to 30, but, you know, I don't know if you saw last week, man, with these new clock rules and stuff like that, we only had 7 drives apiece with Georgia Tech. We had 7, they had 7. So I think you're going to see a lot lower scoring games now with this. I think it's probably a race to the high 20s, almost kind of like we saw last week with Georgia Tech, 24-21, something like that. I do think Florida State gets the win here, but I think it's going to be close. You don't have to throw a score on that, but do you think BC pulls the upset, or do you think Florida State edges them out in Tallahassee?
No, I think Florida State wins. I think it's, if you had a prediction, I would say that 31-17 type score, right on the line to the 15.5 point spread. I think that's pretty, if you had asked me, that's the feel I get for that. as well. I would push back on Jesse on the must win, especially now with the college football playoff system here. I think there's a little more wiggle room. So even if Florida State does go into two conference losses, I'll say that too. I still think they could run the table, and they have a couple more close games. Obviously not good, but I tend to think must win is overused in sports. And unless it's truly a must win, in my mind, it's not a must win. But it's a really important game. You don't want to be 0-2. But I still think there's a path for Florida State if they go 0-2. But you're right. To your point, it's not a good path. It's not an easy path.
Yeah.
And a win would help that out big time there.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, I appreciate it, man. And I'm pretty close to you. I think I was somewhere around 31-23, something like that, 31-24. I just think, man, Castellanos he's dangerous. You know what I mean? Our run defense looked bad last week. So with that being said, that's going to do it for our Behind Enemy Lines episode. We really appreciate Mike coming on to give us the inside look at the Eagles in this big matchup for Florida State on Monday night, Labor Day night, sold out inside Doak Campbell Stadium. Really excited for that. I'm going to be there as well. So, you know, we'll make sure to hopefully connect with some of you guys around some tailgates that we have. We'll give you some more information on that coming up. But as we get out of here, go ahead.
Cash, you one question, Jesse?
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to get the fan base reaction to what's your general take on BC? How do we compare to other teams coming into Tallahassee in terms of excitement? I know we're not Clemson, but what's the fan base's appeal, thought, big picture-wise, on Boston College as a Florida State perspective?
You know, I think if you would have asked me this on last week, I think we would have said this is a game you can't sleep on, but you probably pencil this in as a win, right? We were, a lot of our record predictions were 10-2, 11-1, something like that. I think you predicted a loss to maybe like Clemson, Notre Dame. You didn't think BC was going to be able to do that. You know how close they were last year, but you had the red bandana, you had some weather up there, you had the team had the flu. That game was 31-10 late before some mishaps allowed BC to get back in it.
Yeah.
I feel like people were confident in this game. But I think now with the loss to Georgia Tech, especially knowing, Castellanos, I think last year was like, okay, who is this guy? Now he's not a secret. Everybody knows his legs can hurt you. And Florida State, as most teams do, have a history of struggling against running quarterbacks. And so I think they make us a little bit nervous. This is a game where, again, man, like I said, I feel good about Florida State getting the win. But I'm nervous. I was confident before this, but I think a lot of people are looking at, you got Bill O'Brien. He's a great coach. You have Thomas Castellanos, who's an X factor at quarterback, and Florida State played really sloppy last week. So I think a lot of people feel like this is a game that we should win, but I think people don't take BC lightly anymore. I don't think it's the BC of the past. I think you have that coaching staff. You have a couple playmakers there. Obviously we're kind of excited not to see him in the other garnet and gold type of uniform, but Trayshawn Ward making his return to Tallahassee. So, man, I don't think anybody's taking this game lightly at all from the Tallahassee standpoint.
That's very interesting to hear. And I love it from a BC perspective. Yeah. I remember those Labor Day games, maybe 2006, 2005, Florida State, Miami, Brett Musburger, ABC. So I think this is I'm excited. When they announced this game, BC playing on Labor Day night, this is a good opportunity for us to get the national TV exposure. Week one, Bill O'Brien making his coaching debut. I haven't thought about it, but this is one of the top games openers in the last 10 years, I think, for Boston College. Sometimes we used to go against the Northeasterns of the world or whatever you want, D1AA type schools on the openers. So this is a big change for that. Florida State and national TV Monday night. And also, you guys, you are the sole game against Ireland. Big for us to be that sole window Monday night game. No NFL, no Monday night football. It's a big opportunity for BC. So we're excited. Tallahassee, Monday night, Labor Day night. It should be fun.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, man, BC is typically kind of had our number on some years, especially on those non-Saturday games. So that makes me a little bit nervous too, being that it's a Monday game. And I will say, like, from a neutral perspective, of course I want Florida State to come out and win this. But if Bill O'Brien and BC comes down here and upsets Florida State in Tallahassee, the only game on Monday night, that's a massive statement for that program coming out of the gate in year one for him. Obviously, I'm hoping that doesn't happen. But again, like I told you, man, I think this one's going to be pretty close, and I think it'll be, if nothing else, even in a loss, if they keep it close, I think it's a good showing for BC, like you said, for the program and the brand as they get ready to kind of rebuild going forward under Bill O'Brien. But
Man, it's all upside for BC, right? If we lose, we lose. That everyone expects us probably to lose on big underdogs. But if you, as you mentioned, Jesse, it's good exposure if you win, and that's how you build a program, especially in the Northeast.
Yeah, I think that's I think you're a spot on with that. So, man, we really appreciate you coming on. Really appreciate you giving us the look. Yeah, man, I'm super excited for this game, man. I'm nervous, but I'm excited, and I hope it's a good one. But as we get out of here, Mike, tell everybody where they can find you. Like we said, at Lights, Camera, Sports. If you're a Northeast sports fan, you got to be following him because he's got coverage of everything that you need up there. But tell us where they can find you on social media and tell us about your podcast as well.
Yeah, podcast, lightscamerasports.com, lightscamerasports.com. It's on Apple Podcasts as well. A lot of good guests throughout the year. We have Scott Mutrin, former Boston College QB, recaps the games as well with me. And then my Twitter, Mike_Galtieri, GUALTIERI, to be on the screen as well. A lot of big news. And yes, I'm a Boston College alum. I also cover a lot of the Northeast sports, a lot of UConn as well, New England, of course, a lot of PGA golf. The Travelers Championship is big for me in the summer, the Northeast PGA Tour event. And then Boston sports, we're all over it. Big, big, big summer coming up. Patriots, the Celtics. So a lot going on with New England sports. And but come Monday night, all eyes will be in Tallahassee for Boston College, Florida State.
Awesome, man. I sure appreciate you coming on and looking forward to the game. Good luck to you guys and hopefully good luck to us because I feel like we're probably going to need it. But, man, again, I appreciate it, and we're looking forward to this one. So thanks again for coming on, and, you know, we'll catch you on the next one.
Okay, Jesse. Thank you.